بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. After we spoke about the pillars of Salat and mandatory acts of Salat, now we're going to the third acts of Salat, which are the Sunan, recommended acts of Salat. As he said رحمه الله, we spoke about فهذه إن تركها عمدا بطلت صلاته وإن تركها سهوا سجد لها. He spoke about the mandatory acts. He said if these acts are left out intentionally, the prayer is invalidated, and if left out of forgetfulness, the praying person should pray the prostration of forgetfulness. This is for what? For the mandatory acts. Now we're going to talk about the Sunan of the Salat. The Shaykh Rahimahullah, because of his intelligence, he summed it into one sentence. He said, وَمَا عَدَى هَذَا فَسُنَنٌ لَا تُبْطِلُ الصَّلَاةَ بِعَمْدِهَا وَلَا يَجِبُ السُّجُودُ لِسَهْوِهَا. He said, apart from these, the rest are preferable acts. So, you see Sifat al-Salat, the description of the Salat, Rahmatullah alayhi, when he put it all of it together, the description of the Salat. Now, when he described the Salat from the beginning all the way to the end, when we did Sifatul Salat, that included what? The pillars, obligatory acts, and Sunan. He said to you, take from Sifatul Salat, subtract away the obligatory act or the pillars and the mandatory acts, and whatever left is what? Sunan. Whatever left is Sunan of the Salat. And وَلَا يَجِبُ السُّجُودُ لَهَا, and it is not necessary to do prostration of forgetfulness for them if you miss them. طيب, what I would do is I will read to you some of Sunan al-Salat, some of Sunan al-Salat, before we go sujood al-Sahu. Of course, the Sunan, as some scholars have done, divided them to two. Sunan fi'liya wa Sunan qawliya, or Sunan al-Af'al wa Sunan al-Aqwal. What is Sunan al-Af'al? Sunan are done by the limbs, and Sunan done by recitation on the tongue within the Salat. Done on the limbs, for example, Raful Yadain, raising the hands for the Takbir. That is what? Sunnah. Tayyib. And that's why we said, remember when we said Takbiratul Ihram, to say Allahu Akbar to start the Salat, that was what? To say Allahu Akbar at the start of the Salat. Takbiratul Ihram at the opening of the Salat is what? Is a pillar of the Salat. Without it, the Salat doesn't start. So Takbiratul Ihram is what? This is a pillar of the Salat. Saying Allahu Akbar, starting the Salat with, it is a pillar. Tayyib, raising the hands is what? Sunnah. You see. Now, also what you need to understand, Takbiratul Ihram, to raise the hand, is a Sunnah. Saying Allahu Akbar in between the movements of the Salat is what? Takbira, when you say Allahu Akbar, but moving from one act to another, like going from standing to bowing, saying Allahu Akbar is what? It's a obligatory of the obligation of Salat. He said the second, first obligatory, mandatory act is what? Takbir, other than the opening takbir. You see that? Habibi, these need to be remembered. The 12 or 14 pillar of the Salat, the mandatory acts of the Salat, and the Sunan are the rest. You need always to remember these. طيب. يعني if you combine them, all of them, you come up with what? 20, 21. So it's not hard. So إذن, رفع اليدين عند تكبيرة الإحرام. Raising the hand upon تكبيرة الإحرام is what? Sunnah. Of course, I'm reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi by the Fawzan. وعند الهوي من الركوع. When you go down to bowing. And then وعند الرفع منه, also when you raise from it. So all these takbirat are sunan قولي فعلية, actions, sunan of actions in the salat. ووضع اليمنى على اليسرى, and putting the right on the left. ووضعها على الصدر أو تحت السرة أو تحت سرته من في حال القيام, to put it on the chest or on the under the belly. Or we add on the abdominal area when you're standing. That is what? Sunnah. You see. So a lot of the fights are what? based on sunan of the sunan of salat, where they put a hand and all the arguments, it's a sunnah by the end of the day. The bottom line is sunnah. He said, وَالنَّظَرِ إِلَى مَوْضِعِ السُّجُودِ, to look at the place of sujood. Of course, excessive looking is unnecessary. Subtract the reward of the salat. Excessive, spinning your eyes everywhere. وَوَضْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ عَلَى الرُّكْبَتَيْنِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ, and to put your hands on your knees in what? In the ruku'. يعني if you put them on your shin or a little bit above on your thigh, your ruku' is correct, but you missed on the sunnah. You missed on the sunnah. وَمُجَفَاتُ بَطْنِهِ عَنْ فَخِذَيْهِ وَفَخْذَيْهِ عَنْ سَاقَيْهِ فِي السُّجُودِ, also to keep away your button, your abdomen, away from your thighs, and your thighs away from your legs, your calves, at the time of sujood. وَتَمْكِينُ جَبْهَتِهِ وَأَنْفِهِ وَبَقِيَّةِ الْأَعْضَاءِ مِنْ مَوْضِعِ السُّجُودِ, to make sure all your face and your hands and everything straight flat on the ground at the time of prostration. وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُنَنِ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ مِمَّا هُوَ مُفَصَّلٌ فِي كِتُبِ الْفِقْهِ, and apart from that, from the sunan of aqwal, sayings and af'al, from huwa mufassal, it's been detailed in the books of fiqh. Let me read to you also from sunan al-af'al, sunan al-aqwal, sorry, the sunan of sayings in the salat, and he said it's many. Al-istiftah, so say subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik, and so on. Al-ta'awudh, to say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim afterwards. Al-basmalah, to say bismillah, unless you are on an opinion that bismillah is what? Ayah from the Fatiha, then you must say it, otherwise you missed an ayah, according to the Shafi'i, rahimahullah. وَالْقِرَاءَ بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَصَلَاةِ الْجُمُعَةِ وَالْعِيدِ وَصَلَاةِ الْكُسُوفِ وَالرَّكْعَتَيْنِ الْأَوَّلَيْنِ مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ وَالْعِشَاءِ وَالظُّهْرِ وَالْعَصْرِ, and to read the proportion from the Qur'an in Salat al-Fajr, Salat al-Jum'ah, Salat al-Eid, Salat al-Kusuf, Eclipse, يعني الركعتين, the first two rak'at from Maghrib, Isha, Dhuhr, and Asr. ومن سنن الأقوال, and also from the سنن الأقوال to say ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. When do you say that? When do you say جزاك الله خير يا آدم, after سمع الله لمن حمد, you say ملء السماوات, and so on. The filling of, as we explained, the filling of the space in the heavens and the earth, and so on. We spoke about it in the previous lesson. طيب وما زاد على المرة الواحدة في تسبيح ركوع وسجود, and what is added more than one time in the تسبيح of the bowing and prostrating, and he said and to say more than once ربي اغفر لي between the سجدتين, between the two سجدات, to say ربي اغفر لي more than once. And also the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam wa adhab al-qabr wa fitnat al-mahya wal mamat wa fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal, and also the dua that is in the tashahhud, and so on. So we understand these are sunan of the salat. You forget any of them, or you purposely omit any of them, your salat is correct, but you don't get the extra reward. I want to read for you something. ومن هنا لا نرى مبررا لما يفعله بعض الشباب اليوم من التشدد في أمر السنن في الصلاة. And today we see that there is no reason why some youth do today. من التشدد في أمر السنن في الصلاة. From being hardcore about some sunan of the salat. Not to do them, not being hard and tough about them. He said, حتى ربما أدى بهم هذا إلى التزيد في تطبيقها بصورة غريبة. Sometimes it lead them to implement these in strange ways. يعني they become strange. كأن ينحني أحدهم رأسه في القيام قريبا من الركوع. He said if someone is standing, he wants to look down at the spot of his prostration. He tilt his head so much that يعني he's looking down that as if you feel he's going to go into ruku'. You see? I haven't seen this, but anyway. وَيَجْمَعُ يَدَهُ عَلَى ثَغْرِهِ بَدَلًا مِنْ نَحْرِهِ بَدَلًا مِنْ وَضْعِهِمَا عَلَى صَدْرِهِ أَوْ تَحْتَ سُرَّتِهِ. يعني he put his hands, he wants to put them on his chest. He became so close, it's going to reach into his mouth and his throat. Right? Here it says صدر. يعني where are you going, where do you think you're going, that's the Fawzan. طيب خلاص يعني you see some brothers, he's grabbing the right and left standing like this. طيب why it's like this, but all of it it's a sunnah. That's to say that as we explained in details that the hadith that says on the chest فيها شذوذ and so on, we spoke about that and we said a number of a hadith and the collectiveness and all of them. So why this tashaddud? He said here وتشددهم في شأن السترة. We're going to talk about the sutra. And they've been very rigid about the issue of sutra in the salat. You know how you put a sutra? He said, حتى إن بعضهم يترك القيام في الصف لأداء النافلة. And some of them, they get up from their line to pray the نافلة. ويذهب إلى مكان آخر يبحث فيه عن sutra. And he looked for a different place looking for a sutra. Meaning, let's say you are in Salat al-Jum'ah, you decided to pray. But and you are in the first few rows, you leave them and you lose the first few rows to go look for a sutra so you can pray extra salat. You see? He said, no, it's not the case. Also, you see, yani some brothers, the issue of closing the gap in the line where they spread their feet so wide, just to try to type, where are you going? Why are you? Actually, your salat now is incorrect because you're not supposed to open your legs so wide. When you go to ruku', you're not going to achieve the correct way of making ruku'. So do not. As long as you are straight in line, you are applying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. An important point before we carry on to sujood al-sahu, to talk a little bit about the sutra, to talk about the sutra that you put in front of you. Of course, it is a sunnah for a person, whether he is an imam or munfarid, praying by himself, to put a sutra in front of him, whether he's traveling or he is what? Traveling or what? Or resident. Whether he's praying obligatory salat or nafila. Why? Because the hadith authentic, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّ إِلَى سُتْرَى وَلْيَدُّ مِنْهَا. Anyone of you wants to pray, let him pray towards a sutra and let him get close to it. So to put a sutra in front of you, something in front of you. That is it obligatory or a sunnah? Sunnah. We'll continue and we'll say yes. Of course, يعني many ulama, like from the Maliki and the Hanabila, said it is a sunnah, a sunnah. What is the description of the sunnah? Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن سترة المصلي فقال مثل مؤخرة الرحل. He said, he was asked, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in a hadith that is collected in Sahih Muslim about the sutra of the musalli, she said, like the back of the saddle. Of course, today we have all different shapes of saddles. You have the dressage saddle, which is very thin and small. You have the western saddle, which is a little bit high from the front. And see, the saddle in their days, it was one type of saddle. Yani it was just a normal saddle that day. Put on the horse, and it had like a back, yani from the back of it, it's a bit high. It has like a back support. That back support, the ulama estimated it to be thuluthay dhira', two-thirds of an arm span. Not small pillow, no, two-thirds of an arm span. Yani you could say today, your backpack. You know how some of you carry a backpack or a school bag that is high enough for sutra. What you use, the Quran table, is high enough to be a sutra. طيب. Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi saying, commenting on this in Sharh Muslim, he said, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّدْبُ إِلَى سُتْرَةِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الْمُصَلِّ. He said, and in this hadith, it is an-nadb. The sunnah is that the musalli puts what? A sutra. وَبَيَانُ أَنَّ أَقَلَّ السُّتْرَةِ مُؤَخِّرَةُ الرَّحَلِ. And he said, in this hadith also, the clarification how high the sutra supposed to be, and which is ثلثي ذراع. وهي قدر عظم الذراع أو نحو ثلثي ذراع ويحصل بأي شيء أقامه بين يديه هكذا. He said it is about the third of a ذراع, or he said it is about the bone of the ذراع, you know, the bone of your arm, that is enough. Not your arm fully, طيب. Your arm, he said that's enough to be a sutra, or thuluthay dhira', or two-thirds of a dhira'. Yani the issue here is, as long as it is something a little bit high off the ground. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi said it's about half a meter anyway. As for the thickness of it, yani is it supposed to be wide like a bag, or could be just a stick? Here, of course, the Bukhari and Muslim narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla ila harbah. Ila al-harbah. Harbah is a spear. And also in Bukhari of Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray wa huwa mustatirun bi'anaza. What is anaza? It's a stick that you hit the people with, a small stick, like durra. Stick it in the ground and you pray towards it. Tayyib, a stick. Tayyib. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, istatiru fi salatikum walau bisahm. Put a sutra in your salat even with an arrow. Even with an arrow is enough. Arrow is high enough. Now as for, there is one hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could not find a sutra and he put a line in the ground. He put a line in the ground. That hadith is da'if and it's very weak. Tayyib, very, very weak hadith. And it is incorrect. They have the authentic hadith that says, arrow, spear, anaza, back of a saddle, something that high. But to strike a line in the ground, that is a hadith of what, ya shabab? Da'if. That is hadith da'if. So we take the authentic hadith. Now, it is not, as we said, obligatory. It's a sunnah to put a sutra. Of course, it is haram for someone to cross between the hands of the musalli. We'll talk about that in the acts that are prohibited in the salat or disliked in the salat. But to walk in front of a musalli, it is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, even if you were to fight him for 40 years, stop him from crossing in front of you. It is not allowed to cross in front of a musalli. Naam ya. We continue with sujood as-sahw. Now this is the things that it always confuses the brothers. Sujood as-sahw, how do I do it? Now, you know why you're confused about sujood as-sahw, ya shabab? You know why you are confused about sujood as-sahw? Because you cannot differentiate between what is sunnah, what is obligatory, mandatory, or what is pillars. That's why you're confused. And that's why I tell you it is a must to remember what are the pillars, what are the mandatory acts, and what are the sunnah. Because if you're leading an imam, طيب, unfortunately today, يعني must be the one who leads, don't have both. If you lead imam, if you do not know the pillars, obligatory, and the sunan of the salat, what they are, and you cannot recite the Quran with the minimum ahkam of tajweed, minimum we said, then you shouldn't be an imam. How many brothers we took out? We wiped out? Most of the brothers. Now, why? Because first, your recitation of the Qur'an is important in the imamah. And for you to know, yani not know to recite even the Fatiha appropriately, you shouldn't be standing imamah. Secondly, if you made a mistake in the salat, alhamdulillah, it's all fine and good. Because most of the brothers, when they're praying imam, they try their best not to make a mistake. But if you made a mistake, how are you going to repair that mistake? And is it going to send you into a panic mode that you're going to stuff up the whole salat and say to them, ya shabab, let's repeat the salat? Or you're going to continue with your mistake and correct it and do sujood as-sahw? If you can't distinguish between these three, you're not able and you're not going to know what you're going to do in sujood as-sahw. It happened that once I raised from the ruku' from Sami Allahu liman hamida, and I said, Allahu Akbar. That is what? Obligatory acts of salat. I did sujood as-sahw. Somebody said to me, why did you do this? Why sujood as-sahw for this? I said, because you haven't studied what are the mandatory acts and what are the sunan. What I've done is missed an obligation of the obligation of salat. I said, Allahu Akbar. I should have said, Sami Allahu liman hamida. So pay attention to that. Here, rahmatullahi alayh came straight away to the details. He said, والسهو على ثلاثة أضرب, meaning forgetfulness is one of three types. So سجود السهو ثلاثة أضرب, three types. الزيادة, to add something to the salat. Pay attention. أحدها الزيادة, زيادة فعل من جنس الصلاة كركعة أو ركن فتبطل الصلاة بعمده وَيَسْجُدُ لِسَهْوِهِ. He said, the first type, addition. This involves the addition of an action that is similar to the action of the prayer, such as adding an additional rak'ah or pillar. The prayer is invalidated if that was done intentionally, But if that, if done absent-mindedly, يعني forgetfully, absent-mindedly, the prostration of forgetfulness must be done for it. So what happens? You prayed 5 rak'at. What do you do at the end? Sujood al-sahw. If you prayed 5 rak'at intentionally, your salat is void and you're actually sinning. You added, let's say what? He said, ka rak'a aw rukun. You read the Fatiha twice intentionally. In one rak'a you read the Fatiha, then you repeated the Fatiha. Then what you do? Sujood al-sahw, because you added a Fatiha intentionally. You have to remember it's an equation, a golden equation. Az-za'id akhun naqis. Addition is brother of subtraction. You add and you subtract is the same. You did 2 ruku' in one rak'ah. 2 bowings in one sit, in one rak'ah. What happens? Sujood al-sahw. 3 sujood, 3 prostrations in one rak'ah. Sujood al-sahw. Mafhum? Good. He said here, وَإِن ذَكَرَ وَهُوَ فِي الرَّكَعَةِ الزَّائِدَةِ جَلَسَ فِي الْحَالِ. Oh, that is a good one. He said, if one remembers while he is performing an additional rak'ah, he must sit down immediately. He's giving you now cases. Of course, you are never going to get everything. What does it mean you're not going to get everything? Because he's now gave you the what? The golden rule. But here, ya shabab, you got the golden rule, but there is many, many, many affairs can happen in your salat. Many affairs going to happen in your salat, and you're not going to. If he writes every possibility that could happen in your salat, your book doesn't finish. But he gives you the principle, and you base on the principle. You know the pillars, you know the mandatory acts, you know the sunnah, and then you have a brains, and you know what to do. He said here, وَإِن ذَكَرَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الزَّائِدَ جَلَسَ فِي الْحَالِ. If he remembered in added rak'ah, or the additional rak'ah, he sits down immediately. What does it mean? Here they gave an example, being in the 4th rak'ah in the Maghrib. You're praying Maghrib 3 rak'ahs. Instead of doing the last tashahud, you done what, ya Ali? Stood up. You remembered, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Oh, I just stood up. It's a 3 rak'ahs. What do I do here? Sit down immediately. And do what? Tashahud. At-tahiyyat or tashahud. Sidra down. Why la ruku' is nothing? Remember the golden rule we said, whatever built on batil, fahuwa batil. Whatever is based on falsehood is what? Falsehood. So whatever you're doing in that rak'ah is falsehood. It's existence and non-existence are? Same, equal. Halas, sit down and continue with your salat. So the brother, what does he do? He continues normally, as if, and then he waits to the end and he does the taslim. Why? Whatever you're doing is wrong anyway. So do what you need to do. Sit and do the tashahud, do the taslim, do the tahiyyat, do the al-Ibrahimiyya, and make the sujood al-sahw and do your taslim. We'll speak about the place of sujood al-sahw. Now we're just giving the examples. يقول رحمه الله نعم يا محمد. Again one more time so we can repeat the example. رحمة الله عليه said وإن ذكر وهو في الركعة الزائدة جلس في الحال. If one remembers while he is performing an additional rak'ah, he must sit down immediately. What does it mean? The best example for this is Salat al-Maghrib. Instead of making the tashahud, you stood up like you're praying Asr. You stood up for the 4th. You started reading the Quran, Al-Fatiha, and halfway through the Fatiha, you remembered what? You are actually in a 4th rak'ah. Or if you're an imam, the people behind you, they start, they opened on the 5th gear with the Subhanallah. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Whoa. Okay, now I get it. What do I do? Normally the brother here, this is when he puts the red light button. Very simple. Doing something or falsehood. And the golden rule says whatever is based on falsehood is falsehood. It means it existence and non-existence are the same. As if it doesn't exist. Yani whatever you're doing, all this recitation and that, as if it doesn't exist. So as if it doesn't exist, even if you cut off your recitation, sit down, there's no problem anymore. What do? You start with the tashahud and the tahiyyat. Yani tashahud al-Ibrahimiyya and you carry on with your salat and you يرحمك الله and you do what? سجود السهو. Yeah. The brother is asking good question. After the third rak'ah in the Maghrib, you didn't start with the tashahud or anything, you stood up straight away. Halfway, whilst you're standing up, you remembered that now I'm going up to the fourth. Then you need sujood sahu because now you closed one pillar and you started another pillar, which is al-qiyam. Khalas. So you added something to the salat that is not from it, it requires sujood sahu at the end. Tayyib. I remind you to know that whatever is based on false is false. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that is collected in Bukhari and Muslim, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whomever does an act that it is not according to our matter, it is rejected. So whatever act you do, it is not according to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did or he came with or ordered you to do, it is what rejected. So it's rejected like it doesn't exist. So here also, if you do an act that nullifies the salat and you did it intentionally, it will nullify your salat. And of course, the dalil for sujood al-sahu, all of it, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith muttafaq alayh, agreed upon, إِذَا زَادَ الرَّجُلُ أَوْ نَقَصَ فَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَدَيْنِ. If a man adds or subtract, let him do two sajdad. Here he said, وَإِن سَلَّمَ عَن نَقْصٍ فِي صَلَاتِهِ أَتَى بِمَا بَقِيَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهُمَا ثُمَّ سَجَدْ. If he make taslim while having missed a part of the prayer, he must perform that which he left out of it and then prostrate. He must perform which he left out of it and then prostrate. He said here, if he omitted part of what comes after it, yani, if you omitted the rak'ah or you omitted something from the salat, sahwan, wa sahwan. We said sahwan means forgetfully. If you do it intentionally, your salat is what? Invalid, void. Pillar or mandatory. Both are void. Tayyib. You forgot something. Wa in sallama an naqs. If you make salam, if you make taslim while having forgotten something. Let's just say you prayed and you forgot the fatiha in one of the rak'at. You forgot the bowing. Or you forgot the whole rak'ah completely. You prayed asr 3 rak'at. Or you prayed 4 rak'at asr, but you missed what? You missed the fatiha in one of the rak'at. You missed the fatiha in the last rak'ah. What do you do? أَلَّكْ وَإِن سَلَّمَ عَن نَقْصٍ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. يعني you made taslim after you have forgotten. أَتَى بِمَا بَقِيَ مِنْهَا ثُمَّ سَجَدِ. He must perform that which he left out and then he does prostration. Now, what happens if you miss the fatiha in the rak'ah? What he said, a rak'ah, what do you do here if you forgot the fatiha? You have to come up with the whole rak'ah all over again. Not the whole salat, a rak'ah. And then you prostrate for sujood. Meaning you prayed maghrib 4 rak'at and you missed in the rak'ah al-fatiha. You missed al-fatiha, you remembered, oof, I didn't pray, I didn't recite the fatiha. So you missed what? A pillar from the pillars of what? Of salat. What do? You pray a whole rak'ah. You don't stand and you don't just read the fatiha and do sujood sahu. Now you pray a whole rak'ah because the all of the rak'ah, that one is false. Because the rak'ah is based on reciting what? Al-fatiha. You pray a rak'ah, then you do sujood sahu even after you taslim. Yani you stand, Allahu Akbar, you read the al-fatiha, bowing, sujood, sit down, and you do the taslim. At the end, you do the taslim at the end. You missed bowing is the same thing. You missed the sajda. In one of the 4 rak'at, you did one prostration. What do? Imam Ahmad has 2 riwayat from this. One riwayah, he said, you do just one prostration. And then, why one prostration? Because the prostration can be defragmented and cut up. Sajda can be removed from the whole rak'ah. You see? You do one prostration and do sujood sahu. And another narration from Al-Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi is you do a whole rak'ah. And the opinion of doing whole rak'ah is better. To do a whole rak'ah and then do sujood sahu afterwards. Of course, the دليل of that is حديث ذو اليدين. حديث ذو اليدين. What is حديث ذو اليدين? حديث ذو اليدين, when this man ذو اليدين in صحيح البخاري, ذو اليدين, a man from the companions had long hands. So they used to call him ذو اليدين. The حديث here, حديث ذو اليدين, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what did he do? He emitted from the Salat. Emitted from the Salat. ذو اليدين, he said, now all the companions are quiet. He stood up to show you how the rahba sometimes can stop the people from talking. The rahba, they didn't want to, what are they going to do? They say, the Prophet ﷺ, you're wrong. What have you done? So ذو اليدين, with etiquette, he said, Ya Rasulullah, was the salat being shortened? Or you forgot? What did the Prophet ﷺ said? He said, nay, neither both. Prophet ﷺ said, no, neither both. It's not been omitted, nor I forgot. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, you didn't pray the normal complete salat as you normally pray. He asked the companions, is what Dhul Yadayn saying correct? They said, yes, it is correct. Then he got up and prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and made taslim. He prayed what he omitted and missed, and he made taslim. And from this shuri'at, sujood as-sahu. Tayyib. Let's continue. Here he said, rahmatullahi alayhi. وَلَوْ فَعَلَ مَا لَيْسَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الصَّلَاةِ لَاسْتَوَى عَمْدُهُ وَسَهُوهُ فإن كان كثيرا أبطلها وإن كان يسيرا كفعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حمله أمامة وفتحه الباب لعائشة فلا بأس. Pay attention. If he does an action that is not similar to the action of the prayer, he said here, من جنس الصلاة. What does it mean, من جنس الصلاة? Not similar to the action of salat. يعني wasn't bowing or prostrating or raising the hand. He done something strange. All together. لَسْتَوَى عَمْدُهُ وَسَهُهُ. Then it is the same whether he did it intentionally or absent-mindedly. يعني forgetfully. Something not from the salat, like scratching your head. Stretching. That is not from the salat, is it? No. He said, if the action is not trivial, it invalidates it. And if it is trivial, like the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his carrying Umama radiallahu anha and opening the door for Aisha radiallahu anha, then there is no harm. He's giving you a comment here. He said, if you do actions that they're not from the salat, your amd, your intention and unintentionally are equal. He said, فَإِن كَانَ كَثِيرًا أَبْطَلَهَا. If it is too much, it'll nullify the salat. Yani that action you did is too much, you've gone overboard with it, then it does what? It nullifies the salat. Simple scratching does not nullify the salat. Sneezing and putting your hand on your nose, it does not nullify the salat. Grabbing a tissue from your pocket does not nullify, and cleaning your nose with it because you have a runny nose does not nullify the salat. طيب. He said, but if it is for a reason, like the Prophet ﷺ did, like carrying Umama radiallahu anha when he carried her in the salat. Tayyib, she's running around and he grabbed her and carried her. Like grabbing the hand of your child, you bring him to the masjid and grabbing his hand, you're fearing that he's going to open the door and run outside to grab his hand in the salat or to stand. Normally I'd love the brothers when they come with their children to take the, not, they're welcome. I don't believe that children are supposed to be stopped from coming to the masjid. They're all welcome. But to stand, for example, in the salat near the wall to hold his hand. This way he doesn't run around and interrupt the salat of the musallin. But anyway, ahlan wa sahlan with everyone, with their children. He said here, or he opened the door for Aisha. Of course, opening the door for your wife so she doesn't lose it outside and want to bahdal in front of the neighbors. So what happens, what do you do if you want to open the door for your wife? As long as you don't turn your torso away from the Qibla. So the door, of course, you have to imagine that the door of the Prophet ﷺ, not like your door, ya Habibi, where you probably need a taxi from one side to another side as big as your house compared to the Prophet ﷺ's house. The Prophet ﷺ's house was small. Reach with your hand. Move a little bit, a few steps back. Or, for example, you are in your bedroom and you're praying, and you can move 4 or 5 steps and you open the door for your wife. She knocks on the door, you open the door for her. There is no issues. Side steps it's all right. Back steps, forward steps, as long as you don't move your torso away from the Qibla, because if you do so, you are now nullified one of the prerequisites and your salat can be void. طيب, pay attention to that. He said here, there is لا بأس به. That gives you the guideline of the movements in the salat. I know the Hanafi madhab, they say three movements and that's it. Of course, carrying umama is more than three harakat. Opening the door requires more than three movements. So, but if it is there is no need for it, then you're not meant to do it. Why you're not meant to do it? Because it removes the khushu'. Rahmukallah ya akhi. Khushu' in the salat is important. And if someone, he moves a lot, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw a man moving a lot in the salat, he said, if the heart of this person is in khushu', his limbs will be also in khushu'. So, and khushu' is an important part of the salat. That's ahwal al-salat. Ahwal, one of the ahwal al-salat is to have khushu'. Al-ikhlasu fi al-aqwali wal-khushu'u fi al-ahwali. يعني, your heart has to have ikhlas for what you're saying. Sincerely, you're reading the Quran. And your status is within and inside the khushu' because you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good, there are points I'd like to mention here. What about, for example, turning off the mobile phone? A calamity of the calamities today. I know the brothers who follow the Hanafi madhab, Jazakumullah khair, the phone rings for half an hour, he doesn't reach and turn it off. Because if he turns it off, what happens? According to him, his salat is what? Void. But he has no issue making all of our salat khushu'less and destroying our salat. Ya akhi, then try to silence the phone straight away. Of course, the basic principle is for you to do what? As you leave your shoes outside, put your phone on silence or turn off the phone. That's first. You've forgotten. كُلُّ ابْنَ آدَمَ خَطَّى. Every son of Adam makes a mistake. Or رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. And the pen is lifted up on three, and one of them is the one who is forgets. What do you do? What do you do here? What you do is, straight away you grab your phone and put it on silence. Turn it off. Don't look. Just put it on silence. Just put it on silence. Did I tell you what happened to an imam? And that wasn't me. Did I tell you what happened to him? About forgetfulness? Allah khalas, make you laugh a little bit. Imam, he's got a microphone muhtaram like this one. Tayyib. And they made the adhan. He wants to go make wudu. And before he makes the wudu, he had a rumble in his stomach. He went to the hammam with the microphone attached on. And the masjid is full. People waiting for him. Al-kah wal-tah wal-fah on the microphone. That is a true story, Shabam. And the people looking at each other and everyone cracking up laughing. Now, the brothers, no one even went and knocked on the door. Ya Sheikh, turn off the microphone. They're having a laugh. When he came back, he saw everyone laughing at him. And what are you laughing? They said nothing. So that is what happened when you forget. Also, if the phone is right next to you, it's ringing, can you move one step and silence it, or يعني, switch it on, meaning to answer but not to talk, and the person will hear you saying, praying Allahu Akbar, and so on. Now, can you say Subhanallah if, for example, there is something important, meaning you are in the salat, and this is يعني, fatawi, modern ulama also, not you in the salat, you have a little child, you see him heading straight to the kitchen, and you know your wife, she's got a boiling pot in there. Or you've got something around you, you're working in the house for some reason. Or your little daughter playing with the electricity plugs and you're praying. And your wife is around the corner. Can you say, Subhanallah, she can realize that there's something wrong, she can come? Yes, you can. Why you can say Subhanallah? Because it is dhikr in the salat. Because that is the istiftah. Yeah, istiftah ala musalli wa Subhanallah. That's why it says Subhanallah. So, normally you say it in a tone that you bring attention to the people of in your household. Naam. Tayyib, he said here, Ad-darbu thani, an-naqsu kanisyani, wajib. The second type, such as forgetting a mandatory action. Here he's saying, you forget a wajib. You forget a wajib. A mandatory action, you've forgotten it. For example, like, The first tashahhud. The first tashahhud, is it a mandatory act? Yes, it's a mandatory act. We learned it's a mandatory act. You forgot the first tashahhud. Or takbira from takbirat al-intiqal. يعني the takbira of moving from one act to another act, which is to say Allahu Akbar. And then here, what you do, if you do this intentionally, what happens to your salat? What happens? It's void. But if you've done it forgetfully, then you do sajdatain from sajdati sahu. The dalil is what narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. An Abdullah ibn Buhayna qala salla lana Rasulullah aw salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rak'atayn min ba'd as-salawat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed two rak'at from some of the salawat. Thumma qama falam yajlis. Then he stood up without sitting. فَقَامَ النَّاسُ مَعَهُ. The people also stood up with him. فَلَمَّا قَضَى صَلَاتَهُ وَنَظَرْنَا تَسْلِيمَهُ كَبَّرَ قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ وَنَظَرْنَا تَسْلِيمَهُ. And we waiting for his taslim. فَلَمَّا قَضَى صَلَاتَهُ. When he finished his salat, and نَظَرْنَا, we were waiting for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to do what? Taslim. What did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم missed? The sitting between the two between the rak'at. I'll repeat. Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed rak'atayn from the salawat. Thumma qama falam yajlis. He stood up, he did not sit down. Faqama an-nasu ma'ahu. The people followed him. Falamma qada salatahu. And when the salat about to finish, nadharna taslimahu. We waited for him so he can make taslim. كَبَّرَ قَبْلَ التَّسْلِيمِ. He made takbir before the taslim. فَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ وَهُوَ جَالِسِ. And he made two prostrations while he's sitting. ثُمَّ سَلَّمْ. Then he made what? The taslim. This is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. You see what he did? So he did sujood as-sahu for al-jalsa, the julus. You see the point here? فَإِنْ قَامَ عَنِ التَّشَهُدِ الْأَوَّلِ فَذَكَرَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَسْتَتِمَّ قَائِمًا رَجَعَ فَأَتَى بِهِ وَإِنْ إِسْتَتَمَّ قَائِمًا لَمْ يَرْجِعَ. Pay attention. If he stands up before performing the first tashahhud, then remembers before he is fully erected, then he should go back and perform it. However, if he remembers after he becomes fully erected, he should not go back. يعني he stood up from التشاهد الأول. He stood up before what? التشاهد الأول. And before he fully stands up, he got up and he didn't do the تشاهد الأول. He sat. Yeah, he finished the sujood, he finished the prostration, and he got up. But he hasn't got up fully. So has the qiyam been reached or not? The standing up? No. He's halfway up. Faraja. What does he do? قَبْلَ أَنْ يَسْتِتِمَّ قَائِمًا. Before he completely stands up, he should go back and sit. But if he fully stands up, he cannot come back. He cannot what? Come back. And what does he do? Then, here he said, لم يرجع. He does not go back. Here, let me read to you the hadith. يعني the hadith, it is not fully authentic, but it has shawahid and so on. إذا صلى أحدكم فقام من الجلوس فإن لم يستتم قائما فليجلس فإن استوى قائما فليمضي في صلاته وليسجد سجدتين وهو جالس. He said, when one of you pray and then he stands up from the sitting, if he hasn't reached, يعني stood up completely, let him sit. Exactly what we said. فَإِنْ إِسْتَوَى قَائِمًا. If he fully stands up, فَلْيَمْضِ فِي صَلَاتِ. Let him continue with his salat. وَلْيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ وَهُوَ جَالِسِ. يعني if he stood up, خلاص continue. Don't go back and let him do two prostrations while he is, whilst he is sitting. So here shows you also a golden rule, ya shabab, that you do not come back from a pillar to what? To obligation. This is a pillar and this is an obligation. You do not go back from the pillar to the obligation. Khalas, if you moved, you moved. Meaning somebody, he stood up from the sujood. He is in the prostration and he stood up. He did not say Allahu Akbar. Now he's standing. He started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He's reciting the Fatiha. He remembered that what? He did not say Allahu Akbar when he stood up from the prostration. What does he do? Does he say Allahu Akbar and repeat the Fatiha? Or khalas, he continued the Fatiha, he does not go back? He started with the pillar. You do not go back to where you were. You continue and then you do sujood as-sahw. You see?
I'm told that when you're doing something that's not permissible in that particular salah and you're doing maghrib, but you stand up for the fourth rak'ah completely, and then you remember, you go back down.
That is, yes, excellent question. The brother is asking, Tayyib, in the fourth rak'ah, in the maghrib, you added the fourth rak'ah, but you're coming back down. Here, he told you, stand up and do not come back down. What is the difference between the two? The difference between the two is the first one is false anyway. You're adding something false. In the second example, you're actually moving to a legit pillar. You see, you moved on to a legit pillar, and that pillar is legit. The other one is not legit. It is false. It is rejected. So you are actually moving into something that is rejected. Rad. You see the difference between the two? That is the difference between the two. Aish? The mandatory, the obligation act, the obligation act, you do not have to repeat it. Only the pillar you repeated. يعني you omitted the middle tashahud, you've forgotten the middle tashahud, and you continue on with salat, then you remember that you didn't sit in the first tashahud. يعني in the first tashahud, you did not sit in it. You continued on with the salat and you remembered. You missed what? An mandatory act. An obligatory act. Same thing, you forgot to say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. You forgot a mandatory act. What happens then? You do not say it. Khalas, you missed it. You at the end of your salat, you make sajdat as-sahu. طيب. Nah. The sujood as-sahu, how it is performed, we talk about it next week, inshallah. He's got a chapter for the sheikh by itself. Inshallah, we're going to talk about it. Inshallah, I'll read this paragraph and we stop at that and we continue next week. وَإِن نَسِيَ رُكْنًا فَذَكَرَهُ قَبْلَ شُرُوعِهِ فِي قِرَاءَةِ رَكْعَةً أُخْرَى رَجَعَ فَأَتَى بِهِ وَبِمَا بَعْدَهُ وَإِن ذَكَرَهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ بَطُلَتِ الرَّكْعَةِ الَّتِي تَرَكَهَا مِنْهَا. He said here, if he forgets a pillar and remembers it before the beginning, before he begins the recital of another next rak'ah, then he must go back and perform it and whatever is after it. If he remembers it, after that, the recital of the next rak'ah, then the rak'ah in which he missed the pillar is invalidated. طيب, how is that? You are in your first rak'ah. You did the bowing. You did one sajda and you got up. You got up. You haven't started reciting the Fatiha. In a second rak'ah, what do you do? I'll give you another example, so we can add a little bit more work into it. You're praying four rak'ahs. You did, in the second rak'ah, you bowed, stood up, raised your head up, and then you went into a prostration. Then you stood up. So you missed one prostration, and you missed the tashahud. I said the second rak'ah. You missed the tashahud. What do you do now? If you have not recited the Fatiha for the one, the third rak'ah, you go back, you do the prostration, you do tashahud and stand up. If you didn't start, but if you started with the Fatiha, you continue on, and then you do the rak'ah that you missed, and then what you do? Sujood as-sahw. Araft. Again, we understand it, or you want me to repeat it? I'll give you another example in the Salat. For example, which is the one I mentioned in the beginning. For example, you're praying Salat to Rak'at. In the first Rak'at you bowed, you raised your head, and you went into a prostration. Then you stood up again. If you did not recite the Fatiha, you go back and do what? The prostration, and you continue. If you did do the Fatiha, khalas, you carry on. And then you do a rak'ah and sujood as-sahw. You understand? His words are clear. فَذَكَرَهُ قَبْلَ شُرُوعِهِ فِي قِرَاءَةِ رَكْعَةٍ أُخْرَى. He remembered it before he started the recitation of a following rak'ah. وَبِمَا بَعْدَهُ طيب, why he said وَبِمَا بَعْدَهُ and everything that he did afterwards? Why? Because whatever is based on falses.
وَإِن ذَكَرَهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ بَطُلَتِ الرَّكْعَةُ الَّتِي تَرَكَهَا مِنْهُ
And if he remembers it after the recital of the next rak'ah, then the rak'ah in which he missed the pillar is invalidated. So he continues and he brings the rak'ah towards the end and he does sujood as-sahu.
طيب سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.